Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Len de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the agricultural energy segment with Dan O'Brien of K-State University. Along the way, we'll check the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day and hear from the state statisticians about crop conditions in their regions of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online, on demand, at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Corn futures unchanged at 385 and a quarter in the July contract. September, 388 and three quarters, down a half. December, unchanged at 394 and a quarter. In the March, down a quarter at $4 and three quarters. May futures at 404 and a half, down a half cent. July, down a quarter at 408 and a quarter. Soy complex, July beans, up 17 and a half cents. $11.50 and a half the trade. August, at 11.46 and a quarter, 16 and a half higher. November finished, $11.20 and a quarter cents, up 15 and a half. And January at $11.16 and three quarters, up 15 and a quarter. The March at $10.80 and three quarters of a cent, up 16 cents. Soybean oil in the July at $31.11, down 15. The bean meal for the day finished the nearby contract $8.40 higher at $392.40. July soft red winter wheat down 3 cents at $4.43 and three quarters. The hard red at $4.08 and three quarters, down 4 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago nearby contract, that's the June, at $116.97 and a half, a dollar and a nickel higher. August up 65 cents at $112.67 and a half. A feeder cattle August contract $140.72 and a half cents, up 55 cents per 100 pounds, and lean hogs for the day in the July contract, $83.02, 12 and a half cents lower. August at $84 even, up 50 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming online on demand for you to listen to anytime that you'd like.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil, $1.50 higher at $47.81. Ethanol futures at $1.60 and 7 cents. That's a penny and 3 tenths of a cent lower. Diesel fuel trading at $1.47 even is 4 1/10 of a cent higher. Gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB at $1.50 and 9 tenths of a cent per gallon, up 3 2/10. And the natural gas for the day at $2.92, up 20 4 tenths of a cent. The U.S. dollar is down 0.373 at 96.33. The Dow is at 17,261, 276 points higher, and the gold futures for the day at $1,314.10, $8.40 lower. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A high of 76 degrees, generally cloudy, winds out of the north at 10 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 52, winds out of the north-northeast at 10 to 15. Tomorrow, plentiful sunshine for the day during the day on Wednesday. A high of 79 degrees and a wind out of the north-northeast at 5-10. And then on Wednesday evening, some clouds early, giving way to generally clear conditions overnight. A low of 56, winds east at 5-10. Thursday, sunny skies and 83 on a south-southwest wind at 5-10. And that'll bring us mostly clear skies early on Thursday night, but some scattered showers, some thunderstorms developing late during the evening with a 63-degree low. Winds light and variable, chance of rain on Thursday evening set at 40%. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 28th day of June. It's Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana is here now. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Oh, it's such a beautiful day over here. How could you be anything but good?
I don't know how you could be anything but good other than maybe if you were in Western Illinois and you were looking at a really rotten crop, I suppose.
that's true. You know, we looked at a lot of the weather maps at a meeting yesterday, and there's an area over there that's just been moisture deficit, and I'm sure that, as everybody says, I'm getting rain, they're sort of feeling very left out.
Yeah, so yesterday afternoon, and we'll hear this from the state statisticians in just a bit, and most probably have already heard the numbers, but the United States Department of Agriculture left the corn crop progress and condition report at 75% good to excellent, which is the same as last week. However, they moved, and those are actually two categories, 1 percentage point from good to excellent. So while it's the same, the crop condition this week, highly unusual, in better shape than it was in the previous week. And I don't think most in the trade thought that was going to happen.
Well, I would say that's exactly the right answer. Most of us did not. We were looking for a little setback there. But I think that there were some areas that did get some moisture, looked up, and maybe they that had looked bad before, and they really perked up when they went to the looking over those and the other areas that missed it. It didn't look quite as bad. But there's a lot of disbelief that the ratings are staying this high with as many areas as there are that are looking a little bit tough. You know, we've moved on up, though, in the topsoil that's short to very short with moisture. That's up to 31% here now. So it is going to be very important that over time, if we continue to get these higher temperatures that are forecast for July, that with the already short soil moisture, that we get some timely rains.
And we don't see much in the way of rainfall. Those are a little bit scheduled for late in the week, I suppose. What most of the meteorologists, I believe, are saying, and you can confirm or deny this, is that pretty scattered showers.
Going to be very scattered showers. Listened to one meteorologist yesterday, and he says where it's been wet, it's going to continue to get some moisture, but where it's been dry, it's going to probably continue to stay dry, just as how the convection works and the moisture in the ground helping generate and create that. So, you know, if you're in one of those places that's dry, it doesn't look real good for you.
Were you surprised that soybeans managed to rally again today?
Yes, I sort of was, but it, you know, we turned around. Basically, the stock market was up strong, crude was up strong. We saw a gain. The dollar was down a little bit today, and we kept hearing that basically the international banks are going to be funding margin calls and helping to do stuff. And we're looking for, a lot of people didn't just have to wash out of some of their positions because of the Brexit attitude, because they're being backed up on that. And I think we also saw some bargain hunting out there, too. So took us back up to just about the 50% retracement, and then we backed off.
So would you categorize the recent gains, the last couple of days, in the soybean market as part of the Brexit, so that they were looking at a safer haven potentially and using soybeans as one of those options?
I think that that's part of it. I think that we drove them down harder than we should have with the first announcement of that. And then I think we saw some people doing buying it. I think we saw some forecasts, overnight, or the first one for the morning coming in, that showed the extended temperatures for July to be a little warmer, and maybe a few things moving around. And then at noon today on the sell-off, why we saw that maybe there was a little moisture added in by the American model at noon. But the European model is definitely tending towards the drier of the two models for right now.
Okay, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. I do appreciate it, Wayne.
Thanks.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Hey, don't forget that there are some things on the calendar that you probably ought to keep in mind. Tomorrow morning, if you're in the area, head out to the South Farms and the Seed Shop. That's just to the east of the Assembly Hall, the State Farm Center. And you can be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, bring a $10 bill for you. You get lunch at the noon hour. And Aaron Hager, weed scientist, will take you through the weed science field tour day. Tomorrow, I'm going not to be there, but in Chicago at the CME Group, along with some folks from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. So we'll talk to you from there during the closing market report tomorrow. And this evening, if you have an 11 to 14-year-old and you can get to Peoria to the Riverfront Museum by 6 o'clock, there's a really interesting temporary 4-H club. They call these spin clubs. So they spin up for just a short while, this one starting this evening and through the end of July, that's focused on ham radio or amateur radio. But more importantly, the kids involved, 11 to 14-year-olds, will take a look at electronics, amateur radio, Morse code, satellites, and at the end of the time, they will actually make a phone call, ham radio phone call of sorts, to the International Space Station and talk to an astronaut. Your 11 to 14-year-old can be involved. I think the cost was $15. It wasn't very much. Generally speaking, 4-H clubs are rather local, but this one's so specialized that it doesn't matter much where you listen to me. If you can get to the Riverfront Museum in Peoria by 6 o'clock tonight, you can have your 11 to 14-year-old participate.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, the United States Department of Agriculture on Monday released the latest crop progress and condition report from the National Agricultural Statistics Service. It shows that around the nation, 59% of the corn crop is now in good condition. 16% is in excellent. That total sum, now 75%, was the same as the previous week. However, in slightly better condition this week, 59 good, 16 excellent. Last week, 60 good and 15 excellent. So 1 point moved up into the excellent category. Still the sum, 75% good to excellent for the condition of the corn crop around the 18 reporting states. The condition of the soybean crop good as well, 60% good, 12% excellent, a total of 72. That's actually down 1 percentage point from last week when it was 61 and 12 respectively. And the wheat harvest has continued, now 45% done. That compares to 41% on the rolling five-year average. Now, here are the updates from the state statisticians in Indiana and Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region, with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 26, 2016. Iowa experienced highly variable weather conditions ranging from almost no precipitation to heavy rain and isolated hail during the week ending June 26, 2016. Activities for the week included cutting hay, herbicide and fungicide applications, and some hauling of grain. Heat and lack of moisture stressed some crops, causing corn leaves to curl. Topsoil moisture levels declined to 29% very short to short, 67% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels also fell to 20% very short to short, 76% adequate, and 4% surplus. South Central and Southeast Iowa reported the lowest topsoil moisture levels, with approximately 2/3 of the topsoil moisture rated very short to short. There were scattered reports of corn reaching the silking stage this past week. 79% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Soybeans blooming reached 5%, equal to both last year and the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated with 77%, good to excellent. Oats heading reached 90% this past week. That's 2 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of normal. Oats coloring reached 22%, 4 days ahead of average. Oat condition was rated with 81%, good to excellent. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 26, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Northern areas received needed rainfall last week, but southern areas were drier. Producers in southern parts of Illinois were able to make strong progress harvesting wheat and planting double crop soybeans. Overall, the state average rainfall was just over 1 inch, which was 1/10 of an inch above normal for the week. Temperatures ranged from 3 degrees above normal in northern Illinois to more than 6 degrees above normal in southern areas. The four southern districts of the state show a decline in topsoil moisture, but the rest of the state improved. Growing degree days accumulated since May 1st range from 3% above normal to 8% above normal. Winter wheat harvest advanced by 38 points and is now 76% finished, compared to 28% 1 year ago and 45% normally. The condition of the wheat crop was rated 7% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 70% good to excellent. 4% of corn acres are now silking, compared to 1% last year and 6% for the 5-year average. The condition of the crop declined slightly and is now rated as 7% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 22% of acres are fair, and 71% of acres are rated in good to excellent condition. 94% of soybean acres have now emerged, compared to 89% 1 year ago and 93% normally. 7% of acres are blooming, compared to 5% normally. The condition of the crop declined and is now rated 7% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 71% good to excellent. In other crops, sorghum planting is now 77% complete, oats are 90% headed, the second cutting of alfalfa hay is 35% complete, and 95% of other hay has been harvested. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Continued wet field conditions in the northern part of the state have delayed some field activities such as cutting hay and spraying. Other areas reported that between the heat and wind, soils are drying out, resulting in curling corn leaves. Statewide, the crop condition rating for corn was estimated at 81% good to excellent. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 1% very short, 11% short, 74% adequate, and 14% surplus. Minnesota's corn condition rating increased 2 percentage points from the previous week, with 81% of the crop in good to excellent condition. Soybean condition rated 75% good to excellent, that's down 1 percentage point from the previous week. 72% of the spring wheat acreage was at or beyond the heading stage, that's 12 days ahead of the 5-year average, and 2 days ahead of last year. 6% of the spring wheat crop was turning color. Spring wheat condition rated 65% good to excellent, that's up 1 percentage point from last week. 78% of the oat crop was at or beyond the heading stage, that's 12 days ahead of average and 2 days ahead of last year. With 7% of the oat crop turning color, oat condition rated 84% good to excellent, and that's up 1 percentage point from the previous week. 70% of the barley crop had headed, with scattered reports of barley turning color. Barley condition rated 69% good to excellent, up 4 percentage points from the previous week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 26, 2016. Storms last week provided much-needed moisture for stress fields. Average temperatures range from 71 to 84 degrees and from 0 to 9 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 3.8 inches, with a statewide average of 1.5 inches. Corn silking was 5% complete compared to 6% last year and 6% 5-year average. Rain provided relief for corn that was experiencing leaf rolling. However, in some areas, strong winds knocked down trees, power lines, and grain bins. The corn crop is still reported as 72% in good to excellent condition. Farmers continued to spray and side-dress corn. Winter wheat mature was 82% complete this week. Wheat harvest has begun. Some wheat fields are exhibiting lodging. In addition to wind damage, weather conditions are increasing vomitoxin presence and rust occurrence. Soybeans were 95% emerged compared to 92% last year and 93% 5-year average. Farmers continue spraying soybeans. Mare's tail, dock, and other weeds were very evident in soybean fields. Some fields experienced podding due to localized heavy rains. Soybeans are 74% in good to excellent condition. Other activities this week included preparing for wheat harvest, scouting fields, farm management tour, crop diagnostic training, applying fertilizer, spraying herbicides, hauling grain, certifying crops with FSA, mowing road size, and cleaning fence rows. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 26, 2016. This is Janice Presbury reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates. You can always find this report online at WILLAG.org. Well, on this Tuesday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien now joins us from K-State University. Dan, thanks for being with us today.
Yes, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's start not with the ag energies, but with the hard red winter wheat harvest. It appears to be progressing well.
Yes, tremendous yields. Protein's down a little bit. We were blessed with rains that came during April and May, and we quote hit a home run in terms of yields, almost double what you'd expect. You know, if we were in fields that would have 40 to 50 bushels, we're at 80 to 90 to reports of even higher than that. And like I said, though, in this situation, we end up and have a little bit lower protein than normal. So the place to watch probably is the hard red spring wheat areas to see if they have high protein so we can blend with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And be a lot of storage issues that we're struggling with. We've seen basis really wide now. We have wheat in western Kansas priced below corn in the feedlot areas. So we'll be hopefully feeding some wheat to work through the stockpiles.
That is not good news if you live in Iowa or Illinois, by the way.
I know it's not.
But
let's hope for a lower dollar so we can move some of this stuff, I guess, is probably the best thing to hope for.
All right, so let's take a look at a couple of other things. You sent me a nice PowerPoint. What does it tell us about the future of ethanol and soy diesel?
Well, for the whole month of August, on average, profitability for ethanol, pretty good. By our numbers, about 19 cents per gallon of profit for Iowa ethanol plants, for biodiesel plants in Iowa. Also, about profitability of about, I have to look up and double-check the numbers, about 46 cents per gallon. So great profits. However, when you look at inside those months here, you've got the price of ethanol sideways to a little bit lower, the price of biodiesel declining some. So on average for the whole month, we're making some money, but there are some warning signals out there in terms of how things might hold up as we move on through the summer.
And they are?
Well, again, I think we're dependent on demand. We have seen for ethanol here of late, we'd seen a run-up in the last bit of time in terms of prices. I think almost all commodities suffered, though, with the uncertainty of the financial markets and as that bled over into commodities. So looking at ethanol versus RBOB futures, again, ethanol down a little bit and within the last few days, RBOB down about 18, 20 cents, at least by the numbers I'm looking at. So that's of some concern. On the sales side, are we going to be able to maintain our revenues? And there's some concerns also for distillers grain sales. Those prices had been trending 6, 7, 8 weeks in a row with some export demand overseas. We'd seen distillers grains prices doing really well. Here within the last few days, though, some slowdown in that, kind of following the general malaise.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. I'm sorry about that. We had to fade you out there just for a little bit. Tell me a bit more about where we were headed with that last bit of the conversation, Dan.
Well, I think we're watching the trends in some of the selling prices here for biodiesel prices. from the first to the latter part of the month of June, you'd seen a decline of about a dime or 12 cents per gallon. So we're making money, of course, on biodiesel, but some of the revenue numbers are moving to the lower side. Some concerns about whether the high distillers grain prices will hold up. Again, will the exports that we've seen continue to support what has been going on in that market positively? And I think for ethanol, as long as summer gasoline demand holds up well, we anticipate that on the revenue side for those plants, they'd be doing decently. And of course, here of late, as corn prices have moved to the lower side, that helps us in the short run. We still have that forecast out there for pretty dry July and August, and if that comes to fruition, corn prices could move to the higher side, and then we just have to see where the ethanol plants would stand profitability-wise.
Thanks so much for taking the time with me this afternoon. We'll talk with you in another month or so.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That, of course, Dan O'Brien. He's with K-State Extension. Joins us here on the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear what he has to say again if you'd like on our website. The address there is WILLAG.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day is here from Day Weather to take a look at the forecast for the Midwest. Don, thanks for being here. As I look at it, it doesn't look like there's a lot of rain in the forecast. Will we get some?
Well, there will be. A lot of the potential rain that we see coming is not necessarily over the next two or three days. There'll be a little bit of activity. Most of the rain that we'll be talking about for the Midwest and the Corn Belt region is coming as we get into next week and as we get up into and through the first 5 to 10 days of July. We do see a weather pattern that is going to bring in some chances for showers and thunderstorms. So long-term rain looks like a good bet, especially for many areas in the central and southern areas of the Corn Belt, which have been missing some of it. But that's coming long-term. Short-term, we're going to just sort of go through, as you mentioned, not a lot going on.
And it should be beautiful over the short-term. When we get the rain, will we get the heat back with it?
Yes, but at the same time, the trend so far this summer is, we've had our usual really warm days coming up, but there's really nothing that says a lot of heat either. In fact, when we start to get back into the rain chances again, we may see our temperatures averaging a little bit below normal, and something that we'll need to watch out in the long term. So if there's going to be any real hot weather, it's going to be confined to the southern and western states.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Let's catch you up on the agricultural news as we finish out our program now. The newly expanded Panama Canal could be a double win for U.S. agriculture, but Waterways Council Executive Vice President Deborah Calhoun says that only highlights the further need to modernize the locks and dams on the upper Mississippi River.
It's essential to commerce. It's essential to the United States remaining as the world leader in agriculture and feeding the world. So we need to make sure that our lock and dam system is as efficient as it can be to get ready for what's to come.
Almost a third of all U.S. corn, wheat, and soybeans now transits the Panama Canal to reach Asian markets. And finally today, a temporary 4-H club, a spin club in Peoria, Illinois, is just getting started on an out-of-this-world journey. The club, and maybe your 11 to 14-year-old too, will make contact with the International Space Station at the end of July. Tonight through the month of July, 4-Hers interested in radio, electronics, computers, space, and NASA will meet at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. It's a club open to 11 to 14-year-olds around the state, says Extension's Judy Schmidt.
It only meets for Tuesdays, and it is in the evening from 6 to 7:30, so that might hopefully make it more accessible for families that have to work and things like that. So The first three sessions, they'll be, you know, doing lots of activities related to ham radio and Morse code and satellites. And that last session, they'll be kind of planning the questions and what they're going to talk about. And then sometime that last week is when the actual call will happen.
A call to talk with an astronaut on the space station. The 4-H Club meets at the Peoria Riverfront Museum tonight at 6 p.m. All 11 to 14-year-olds are welcome to join. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.